Brothers and sisters, Alleluia, He is risen. Today, we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday. And there's an irony involved in this, as once again, we've been made poignantly aware that there have been many shepherds among us who have not been good. The evening news seems to be full of stories about shepherds who have not lived up to their role. Police have been dishonest. Politicians have lied and broken the law. Teachers have abused students. Parents have abused their children. And yes, sadly, even the clergy have abused parishioners, especially minors. Friends, it's disgusting, isn't it? People who have been given authority, people who are supposed to be shepherds protecting the flock, have failed miserably. And in doing so, they've created much hurt, much damage. And by far worst is the abuse by clerics in the Catholic Church, not because it's more prevalent, but because the damage caused by some priests and bishops have severely harmed the entire church, the entire body of Christ. You know, it'd be so easy for me to come up here and give a great homily about good shepherds if, in fact, the church had not been rocked by this scandal, if clerics had indeed been good shepherds. But since we know this has not been the case, how are we to understand this feast given the climate of the church today? How can we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday knowing that we have a lot of bad shepherds among us? Well, I think we do this in several ways. First, I think we need to take a step back from the media reports and sensationalism. And I don't say this to dismiss what happened, but because we have a tendency to allow our anger to snowball out of control. We can easily get caught up in the hype, the mob mentality that doesn't reflect on the issue, but simply seeks a scapegoat to crucify. And that's not healthy. When we step back for a second and reflect upon what Good Shepherd Sunday is about, I think we can put away some of that negative energy. You see, Good Shepherd Sunday is about exactly that. It's about good shepherds. It isn't about the bad ones. You see, our tendency is to simply look at the bad and to ignore the good. And we've been trained to do this, right? I mean, almost instinctively, we complain about others, our coworkers, our bosses, our teachers, our peers. Today's celebration is about putting an end to the complaining we do about others. Our celebration is about celebrating the fact that we have a good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And our good shepherd has not abandoned us, but has given us many shepherds in our own lives who are, in fact, good. And this certainly holds true in our church. A vast majority of our clergy are, in fact, good. They've acted as good shepherds, and they've looked after their flock with care. Our celebration today is extremely important, especially as we face this worldwide report of priests and bishops who have been so abusive. It's important because it reminds us that in the midst of this darkness, there are good shepherds in the church. The church, as Jesus tells us, is in his hands, and it will not be snatched away. Jesus has given us many good shepherds in his mold to guide the church, even in this difficult time. In fact, the number of good shepherds he has given us far outweighs the number of bad shepherds by a ratio of greater than 9 to 1. Jesus tells us that his sheep know and recognize his voice. Certainly we can recognize the voice of Jesus working through the good shepherds among us. And we need to look no further than our own shepherd, our pastor, Father Schrader. And I don't say this because he's my boss, and I don't say it because performance reviews are coming up. I say this in all sincerity. A good shepherd is one who knows his sheep and who cares for their needs. While the process of merging three parishes into one new one may have been a painful process for many people, I think it was made a lot easier by Father Schrader acting as a good pastor, a good shepherd, one who is concerned about his flock. And Father Schrader isn't the only example of a good shepherd. I could give several other examples of good shepherds in our church. But here's the real kicker. We are all called to imitate the good shepherd. See, as Pope St. Gregory the Great said in a homily almost 900 years ago, I'm going to quote him here. "You have heard the test pastors have to undergo. Turn now to consider how these words of our Lord imply a test for yourselves also. I assure you it is not by faith that you will come to know him, but by love. Not by mere conviction, but by action." You see, we all participate in the role of shepherding. For example, parents certainly have a responsibility to shepherd their children. At baptisms, parents and godparents are charged with the daunting task of ensuring that the light given to their children remains burning. Friends, these are not just words that are sweet sounding. This is a mandate. Anyone who is a parent or a godparent has a serious responsibility. They need to shepherd their children in the faith. And Justin, that means you. Stewardship, which we heard about earlier today, is also part of shepherding. We need to use our resources to promote the efforts of good shepherds among us. If we're not good stewards, we undermine our shepherding efforts. Father Schrader can't run this parish alone. He needs assistance from the numerous staff members and the even more numerous volunteers, each of whom who have reflected on their time and talents and put them to work in a particular way to assist the efforts of the good shepherds. And similarly, it's no secret that many of our shepherding efforts require financial resources. Without your financial support, we would not have phones or email. Lori's scripture reflection group would meet in the dark. Our stewardship is essential if we want to support the efforts of the good shepherds among us. It's also important for us to remember that we're members of the flock, and we act not only as shepherds, but we must also follow those who shepherd us. Recall that Jesus told us, not only do his sheep hear his voice, but they follow him. Therefore, we need to not only hear the voices of the good shepherds in our church, but to follow those shepherds who are trying to lead us closer to God. For example, our good shepherds can plan great opportunities for prayer and reflection, but they lose value if no one attends. Our youth can have wonderful ways to connect our teens with God, but the efforts of our youth group are wasted if no teens attend. Our choir can provide us with beautiful music at liturgy, but we need to join with them in singing if our prayer is to grow. Our adult faith formation can bring in great speakers like Sister Helen Prejean, who will be here in a couple weeks, but their efforts are in vain if we don't attend. In other words, as members of the flock, we need to not only hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, but we need to act on it as well, as Pope St. Gregory the Great told us. So often we act on the voices of the bad shepherds. See, we let our anger get out of control. We protest and we do all sorts of things. But today's celebration, today's gospel, challenges us to act on the voice of the good shepherds, the voice of Jesus Christ, by following him. And this can only be done if we listen to the good shepherds among us and follow them. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who follow the Good Shepherd.